gospel is seen as the anatomy of a conversion. All the factors, all the outline of a conversion are present. And it's kind of like almost a novel that's pretty long. But like when, where, who, it's all here. The time that this plague takes place is noon. The height of the heat of the day, as well as the time of greatest illumination. Okay. The place is Samaria. And Samaria was filled with half-breeds. It was a bordering place. And so those who lived there were considered foreigners by the Jews. In fact, like pious Jews would go around Samaria rather than go through it. But Jesus goes through Samaria. He loves the outsiders, the marginalized sinners. And the place, again, is a well, Jacob's well. And a well is a place where people satisfy their thirst. And the who is Jesus and the woman. Jesus says, "Give me a drink." And it's an invitation to generosity. Okay. Actual grace, God speaks to us. He invites us to generosity. St. Augustine says, this is Jesus thirsting for our faith. This is God thirsting for our generosity. Actually, that thirst will be repeated on the cross. Jesus will say, "I thirst," which is understood as, "I thirst for your love." That's our Lord's plea on the cross. This whole thing is a little bit of an Abbott and Costello routine, like who's on first, because Jesus is speaking supernaturally. The woman is thinking naturally. Jesus is speaking about grace. If you knew the gift of God, who is asking you? The gift of God that Jesus offers to the woman, this living water, is the gift of himself. That's the greatest gift of God, God himself. But the woman is still thinking naturally in terms of water. She says, "You don't even have a bucket, and this water is deep, and this well is deep. How are you going to give me living water?" Again, the well is the symbol of where we satisfy our desires. And even more general than just our thirst, all of our fallen natural desires, which are kind of out of control, they call it concupiscence, those desires for wealth, for pleasure, for popularity. And the woman symbolizes each one of us. We bring the bucket of our desires to wells that can never satisfy us. We seek after money, which may satisfy us for a time, but we thirst again. We seek pleasure, but again, we thirst again. Like Mick Jagger sings, "I get no satisfaction. I can find no satisfaction." Okay? Because we seek after things that really don't fulfill us, don't satisfy us. Popularity, some people go to that well very often, again and again. It satisfies for a time, but it wears off and it's back to the well again. One Lenten exercise Father Barron suggests is to name our well. Name the well that we go back to over and over again. So Jesus offers living water and promises you will never be thirsty again. Because the desire that he wants to satisfy is the deepest desire of our hearts and our souls, that desire for God himself. Like St. Augustine says, "O Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." Along the way, we discover that the woman is morally suspect. She's got five husbands. She had five husbands. But our Lord does not begin with condemnation. He begins with alluring her to this invitation to life. Okay? And ultimately, St. Augustine says that those five husbands are like five senses, the five senses that we try to satisfy our fallen desires of sight, of hearing, of taste, of touch. We exhaust every well in the world, every natural desire we seek to satisfy. Like some people who've kind of made it to the top. I remember one person said, "I had everything I ever desired, and I was still in the valley." Okay. I had everything I wanted, everything I ever desired, and I was still in the valley. Because those desires were all the wells that never satisfy for wealth or fame or popularity or pleasure. And our Lord, you know, asks her about her husband, and the well is the in Old Testament is a place where engagements take place, where marriages often take place, and basically Jesus Christ is saying that I want to marry you. He's saying to each one of us, I want to marry you. In the church, bride and bridegroom are united in the church. Okay. He wants to be our spouse. He wants us to be united with him in the most intimate way. Like we say, the woman says, "He told me everything I ever did." And then she becomes the first evangelist. She proclaims near and far, and all these people come and meet our Lord. And ultimately, that's what happens to us. Once God satisfies our desires, deepest desires for truth and love and life, then we want others to know about him. We want others to come to the fountain, and so that they too can be satisfied with Christ. So pray that outline of a conversion might help us to name the wells that we go back to over and over again, and ultimately might recognize that the Eucharist is ultimately the well, that the living water, that provides living water within us, that we never thirst again. After communion, we are fully satisfied. There's nothing that can satisfy us more than Holy Communion, basically because we were meant for God. And like we say, we have this infinite void within us. And Holy Communion in this life, heaven in the next life, is what we were made for.